kids, come and get settled. If you're watching online, get comfortable. I have a great friend of mine, a great bishop, that's having ham and eggs and biscuits and gravy watching me preach right now. And he says it's better than a front row at church. I don't know. He's joking. I'm glad that he's there and his dear sweet wife. John chapter 1. There's so much truth in the Word of God. Can you say amen? There's an enormous amount of truth. Now, our crowd is half of what it normally is. It's about time for school to start, and people are taking off and at home, and that's fine. That's wonderful. Maybe, I'm sure you're catching me online. So just right now, just stop and say, Pastor, I'm with you. I have many, many that do that every week. But we want to preach to you today, and tonight I'm going to be preaching a companion message to this morning. So I want you here at 6 o'clock. Somebody say 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Praise God, you said it. All right, thank God. Be here at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a rally tonight. Boy, you don't hear that word very much anymore, do you? I was talking to my sister the other day, and she said, do you remember when we were growing up? We had, in every month, we had a youth rally. We were full gospel. We were just free Pentecost people. So all these 15 or 20 little churches would get together. And it's surprising how many wives found their husbands and husbands found their wife at church. Isn't that something? I heard somebody say, we don't have anything in common. If you have Jesus, you have a lot in common. Amen. Now, if you want to see two opposites, diametric opposites to each other, stand up, Ruth. Would you do that, please? There's one, and I'm the other. I see red, she says blue. I say that one, she says that one. But there's one thing we have in common, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the common denominator. How many knows that this morning? Hey, listen to me. I want you to preach with me, if you will. Say amen. Amen. I want you to get involved in this, and I want us all to preach this message together. In John chapter 1, there's an enormous amount of truth. We can't preach the Word of God. Someone told me just the other day, and I thought, boy, don't take that to yourself, because you know and I know that the Holy Spirit gave you that word. But someone recently said, Pastor, you preach something I've never seen in that scripture. But what the Holy Spirit spoke to me recently was simply this, that if I gave you the same scripture for the rest of your life, you could not exhaust the phenomenal truths in one scripture, because it's living word. If that's true, say amen. Amen. Isn't it? In John chapter 1, I'm going to be preaching you a message, and I'm going to tell you the title up front, which I normally do not do. But listen to this title. Don't be enamored by the package. What in the world? Don't be enamored by the package. Subtitle, embrace the content. Okay? Let me read to you from my notes, and I want you to listen closely, my heart. My duty as your pastor and my calling is to assist you in staying on course, pointing you to the truth, leading you into a greater understanding of Jesus, encouraging you to embrace Jesus as your everything in your life, and to embrace the Holy Spirit in your daily walk with Jesus. You see, the reason that's the priorities in my life as your shepherd and pastor is that Christianity today has a tendency to get wrapped up, tied up, and enamored with the many different colorful, bright, and enticing packagings of Christianity. All the while ignoring and having a tendency to ignore what's inside of Christianity, the contents of the package. The Gospel of John was probably the last of the four Gospels that were written. John's Gospel is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John leaves us because of this reason. John leaves these areas out of his gospel. He leaves out the birth of Jesus in comparisons to the synoptic gospels, the first three. He leaves out, and when I say leaves out, I'm not saying he omitted on purpose. I'm just saying his content, his direction was different. John leaves out the birth of Jesus, his baptism, his temptation in the wilderness, the Last Supper, his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, his ascension. He leaves out demonic confrontations and parables. The first three Gospels focus on Jesus' ministry in the area of Galilee. But John centered on what Jesus said and did in Jerusalem. Matthew shows us that Jesus came from Abraham through David and demonstrates that he is the Messiah promised in the first covenant or the Old Testament in Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. Mark shows us Jesus came from Nazareth, showing that Jesus to be the great servant. He echoed that in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Luke shows Jesus came from Adam, showing that Jesus is the perfect man, and he referred to himself as the Son of Man. He didn't say, I'm a government, a policy, a political figure. He took himself out of the world's factions and said, I am the Son of Man. People don't understand that term too often. It's a messianic term saying that he is the Messiah. It's nothing new, that term that's used in Luke as he reflects who Jesus is. In fact, when you go back to the book of Daniel, in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, verses 13, 14, and those verses, Daniel is saying this, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like Son of Man. Listen to that. In Daniel is where we first saw that phrase, a messianic term that Jesus referred to himself. Why? Listen to what Daniel said through the inspiration of God and Jesus in that particular time. One like the Son of Man who was coming, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him, and to him was given this, dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Listen to this, that all the people, nations, and men of every tongue might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. That's who the Son of Man is. This is the one that Luke said, I want to show Jesus in this way. Mark said, I want to show him as the great servant. Jesus put his people together, his disciples, before his crucifixion. And he said, if you want to know what's great to me, how many want to know what's great to God? He said, to be great to me is to be a servant to everyone else. It's to be lesser, and I'll make you greater. And in this world today of Christendom, we've packaged the Christian movement and the church with a lot of fancy paper and colors. And a lot of those things are very glitzy, and we get to noticing those, but we can't get into the wrapping. We've got to get into the contents of what God gave us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke shows that he came from Adam, showing that he was the perfect man, the Son of God. But the Gospel of John, listen to this. John shows Jesus came from heaven, demonstrating that Jesus is God. That's what John did. The rest of them did a great job telling us who Jesus was. He is the Son of Man. He is the great servant. He is a descendant through the loins of Abraham through David. But the greatest example that I see is John's gospel when he says in John chapter 1, in the beginning, he's saying this about Jesus. He's saying that in the beginning, that means before the beginning was. Well, there is nothing before the beginning. Yeah, there is. There's Jesus. Listen, John chapter 1, verse 1, reading from the NIV. In the beginning was the Word. Whoa. The Word. That's a new terminology to us, but if you read Old Testament script, if you study the way I study, let your shepherd, let your pastor tell you something about that term, the Word. The Word is not a new phrase. This is not something that came in John's gospel. When you see this term, God explaining himself, in the beginning was the capital, look at that, capital Word, and the capital Word was with God, and the capital Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. And when you go back to Old Testament script and rabbinic writing, you will see that many, many times when the writers in the Old Testament would write or speak about God, they would use this term. They call God the Word. Woo! Because he was then. Amen? Amen? He was then. In the beginning, before the beginning happened, Jesus was. And he was a term used by rabbis and writers of script, even in the time of Abraham, in the time of Noah, in the time of Adam, all the way through Malachi, into the beginning of his introduction in the flesh when he came. In the beginning was a term used many times, written in script. The Word. How many believe Jesus is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That means he was already there. He's eternal. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Somebody say amen. Amen. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. He's saying that Jesus is the Creator. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Why are you emphasizing Jesus this morning? I'm emphasizing Jesus because I've become keenly aware of the move of Satan in the world today to shut down that name. They don't care if you talk about God. You can talk about anything you want to. But when you use the name Jesus, you're getting into a different ball game there. Now, I know some people say, well, we worship Jesus only. That's their prerogative. That's okay. I worship Jesus, but I want to tell you, I worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and there's no competition in the Godhead, but Jesus is the name that was given to us to use with all power and all authority in our lives. In him was life. Listen to this. So not only is he the Creator, he's the giver of life. And that life was the light of man. That light is the ability for a child of God that was in darkness to see the darkness around you. If you're walking in utter darkness, you might be getting ready to step off of a cliff. Amen? You might be ready to step into a door frame. You ever done that at night? Kick your toe in the dark. But when Jesus lights the place, illuminates your life, you don't walk in darkness anymore. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's the unregenerated people that have yet to come to Jesus. Verse 6 says, there was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light of God, Jesus, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, but was though the world was made through him, the world was not ready to recognize him or did not recognize him. Verse 12. Yet to all who received him, if you've received Jesus, say amen. Amen. Let me just tell you what you have. To all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name. If you believe in the name of Jesus, say amen this morning. He gave the right to become children of God. Now I want to tell you something. You may have a poor self-image of yourself. You may have a struggle living with what you've done. You may have a struggle understanding how God can even like you, let alone love you. But that doesn't change the fact that God supersedes every failure and shortcoming you have. And he paid an ultimate price so you could have peace and freedom over the past. And listen to me, that's the joy and peace that only Jesus can bring. All receive him. To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be a child of God, the children of God. Whew. Somebody say, I'm a child of God. Somebody say, Jesus, help me to realize I'm a child of God. I want you to have the realization. That's why I preach to you. I want you to have the understanding. That's why I preach to you. That understanding will separate all the other stuff when you realize you are a child of God through Jesus. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Woo. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is Jesus talking, his incarnation. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, my goodness. John testifies concerning him. He cries, saying, this is was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Now listen to verse 16. This is powerful. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Don't get caught up in just asking God what's next. Start looking for what God has done. Has God done anything for anybody here? Isn't he good? From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now from John chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 17, we hear him referred to as the Word. But in verse 17, it names the name. Everything that's in those first 16 verses is talking about Jesus. Amen? He came from the Father. He is God. He took on flesh and became our flesh to give us freedom, to forgive us of our sins, to show us grace and truth. He is the light in our life, and everything we need and want is all from Jesus. Somebody say amen again. It gives me time to turn the page. When the beginning came, the beginning was already there for God. God was there. And the Word was there with him. And the Word was God with God. In John chapter 16 and 17, I just read, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Again, say amen. Amen. For the law was given through Moses. But speaking of the Word, just talking about Jesus, grace and truth came through Christ. Let me explain to you what that means. I want to give all the understanding I can get. All you've got to do is say, Pastor, I want to soak it up. If you want the Holy Spirit to help you soak it up this morning, say, I do. Then listen to this truth. Grace and truth was given to you through Jesus Christ. Grace means acceptance to God. That's what it means. through Jesus Christ, you've gained acceptance to the Most High Father. Amen? You have gained acceptance into the very presence of God through the grace Jesus has shown you. The truth, the two things he said he came to bring, grace and truth. Truth is the light that he's brought to you through the Holy Spirit so you can see darkness. You can see your way around. You understand, here's a pitfall. There's a pitfall. There's a sin. There's something I don't need to do. The light of God through Jesus' love to you and the Holy Spirit in you gives you the light to see that you don't have to step in a 20-foot crater, but you can be set free by the power of Jesus. Amen? Amen. The decision's yours, though. The responsibility's yours. Don't try sin when God gives you the light to it. Believe me, what looks like little is a trap, and Satan only comes to destroy you. Stay away. That's what Jesus gave you the power over. The word was identified by his name, Jesus. So I'm saying this as the title again. Don't become enamored by the glitz and overlook the contents of the gift. Don't do that. The glitz, the shiny paper, the pretty bows, the colorful outside has very little to do with value at all. The contents, Jesus has everything. He is everything, and he holds everything for you. He's every possession that you'll ever need, that you'll ever desire, that you'll ever want. He's the substance of your faith. Jesus is. Pastor, why are you on? I'm going to be preaching about Jesus all day today, this morning and tonight. I'm not going to allow the enemy to silence my voice when I say who my God is. I'm going to give him the name that was given in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And it said, there is no other name given among men by which I might be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to worry about doctrines or ideologies. I'm going to look at the Word of God and listen to the world that's trying to silence the name that has all power and acceptance and grace into the very presence of God. And every time I open my mouth, if somebody asks me something about my Lord or God, I'm not going to say he, it, that, they. I'm going to say his name. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my King and my God. Well, you're just being obnoxious. No, I'm not. I hate the devil. He's the one that tries to silence the name. He's the one that tries to shut down the name. But he cannot do it. He has tried from all of eternity. In Luke chapter 19, I see where Jesus was making the triumphal entry into the city just before his crucifixion. They put him on a donkey and they walked him through. And the people were overwhelmed by his ability to do miracles, to heal the sick, to feed 5,000 men and their wives and children, to feed 4,000 men and their wives and children, to touch everyone that was sick and halt and blind. Take a man that had been lame 38 years and raise him up. They saw the power of God through Jesus Christ. They realized that. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And a bunch of Pharisees, listen to me. Don't let religion get in your way of Jesus. You need to use this name. I'm telling you, it's not magical. It's majestic. It's not an accident. It's absolutely proclaimed by God. You need to be specific to the world. Jesus Christ saved me. Jesus Christ keeps me. Jesus Christ forgives me. Jesus Christ heals me. Jesus Christ is my everything. He is my authority. I had a conversation with a dear friend of mine this morning. It was sitting in the Orlando airport. He said, I want to ask you a question. If somebody asked you, what is your authority, what would you say? I said, that's simple. The Word of God says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. I wouldn't say, he said, well, would you say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? I'd say, why be redundant? They're all one. They're three, but they're one. So why don't you just say this, what John said. In the beginning was the Word. And if you want to know what my source of authority is, it's the Word. And the Word is Jesus Christ. He's the key that unlocks the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. He's the giver of everything you'll ever need, want, and desire. I said it before, I say it again in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He's the one and only where the forgiveness of your sinful failures can be reconciled and removed. The name of Jesus. Only His name, when spoken, can unlock the flow of Calvary's blood that He shed and reserved for your salvation. Woo! Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Jesus paid the ransom to free you to go free. His name releases the healing of every sickness, every infirmity, every disease that exists, because He existed before the sicknesses and infirmities. And He existed in all power and all authority. Oh. The only way you can honor God is use the name of Jesus. There is no other way. The only way you can come into His presence is using the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. The only way that you can gain God's attention and the attention of God is through the name of Jesus. He is the Word. He is the Creator. He is the giver of the Holy Spirit. He is God and must be worshiped as God. Use His name. Speak it out. Proclaim the name of Jesus in your life. Don't allow the enemies of God to remove, subdue, or mute, or change His name. Say Jesus, and all heaven stands at attention. You say, well, I guess they're up and down quite a bit more than we are. Now, there's people that say Jesus, and heaven ignores it. Well, that's probably me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the vain use of His name. But I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, and don't hold up your hand, just listen to me online and listen here. If you're a child of God that's been saved less than 2 years, just listen. If you're a child of God and been saved less than 5 years, listen. If you're a child of God that's been saved less than 50 years, listen. If you're a child of God that's been saved less than 90 years, listen to what I'm going to tell you. When you speak the name of Jesus as a child of God, there's a man by the name of Billheimer. He's gone now. The only books outside of the Bible I've ever recommended, and I have some good friends who have written good books, the only ones I've really recommended as really important readings are the books of Billheimer's. He wrote little thin books that you can pick up and read. One called Destined for the Throne. One called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. One called The Mystery of God's Providence. The most powerful words I've ever read from a man on the nature and glory of God. In Destined for the Throne, God says this about you if you're a new child of God. If you're an adolescent, if you're, I don't want to laugh when I say this, mature. I've never grown up yet. I'm trying, but I don't think I'll ever will, because Paul never sees it. I've never reached the mark of the prize of high calling. I'm trying. But here's what he says. He says that the newest youngest, most tender, born-again child of God, the babe that's just accepted Jesus Christ. He said, here's where he stands in the kingdom of God. Bellheimer said that the angels, if you take one of the angels of God, if one of the angels of God was able to manifest himself right here, you'd have a hard time not bowing, but he would very quickly tell you, don't do that. An angel of God will not accept any recognition. He'll accept no glory, no worship, and he will not tell you, I'm pleased. That's not of God. He will give you a message from the Father and say, he's pleased with you. But if you take one angel, think about this. When Sennacherib came against the children of Judah, there were 185,000 soldiers. That one angel stretched his finger out, and 185,000 mean warriors dropped dead with a heart attack in 1 second. Bellheimer says, if you took the angels of God that have the greatest beauty of the universe and farther, their intelligence is greater than all of the combined intelligence of humanity. Their glory and power surpasses any glory and power and far exceeds the power of demonic activity and demons. They are the glory of God that brings glory to God. But to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, to the Holy Spirit, a brand new, born again child of God is greater in the eyes of God than all the angels in heaven. Glory to God. That's who you are. And when you say, I'm a child of God, you've got to understand who God has made you. And you've got to start living the way God has made you. You've got a responsibility to stand up and quit acting like a street urchin and act like a child of a king. You've got a responsibility to stand up and say, it's not in me, but it's in him. Through the name and the power of Jesus Christ, I have been given sonship. I have been given daughtership. I am blood in the nature and in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ in my life. But it's that name that gave me everything that I have. Don't allow the enemy to remove or subdue or mute or change his name. Quit calling him him. You know, how long would that get me as a pastor? Hey, him, come here. Hey, him, her, her. I just pointed to four pastors. Five, him, her, back there. Who are you talking about? Him. Oh, yeah, well, that must mean, her. Well, that must mean, well, you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. But when I call a name, that's different. That's a whole different ballgame. When I say Kendra, I'm not talking about anybody but you, girl. You, Dr. Scott. You're Kendra. And I don't say her. I call her name. When I talk to Jesus, I'm not going to talk around about so I don't offend somebody. I'm not going to try to make God vanilla where the rest of the world can understand that we all serve God in our own little ways. That's baloney. There's one name given among man. That's all creation whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name. That's the freedom. That's the power. That's the sonship and daughtership. That's the glory. That's the giver of the Holy Ghost in your life. Say Jesus in heaven stands, and he does. They do. God pays attention when you say this name. Satan's power is broken when you say the name of Jesus. You say, is that true? I'm telling you. You just can't walk around going, Jesus, 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 like he's a safeguard or a fire escape. When you do, you stand and say, I'm a child of God. Not because of me, not because of what I deserve, only because that God did something for me. Let me tell you, when God let Jesus come to you and die, You didn't receive the sacrifice. It wasn't your sacrifice. This is something incomprehensible. I haven't got my arms around yet. God gave me this thought. He's like, he'll tell me once in a while, think about this. And when he says that, I go, whoa. And I have to start thinking. God gave his son to us. It was God's sacrifice, Jesus was. Jesus was God's sacrifice to you. That must be something when the almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God that is pure without any faults or flaws takes himself in the form of the Word and lets him become incarnate and take on flesh and let him die for my sins. That puts a value on that name, Jesus, that's far above anything I can hope or imagine. And he did it for me, and he did it for you. I love Luke 19. He's coming into the city. I referred to it earlier. The Pharisees are listening. They're praising Jesus. They're not praising him because he's the Messiah then. They didn't know that. They praised him because he fed the hungry and he healed the blind and the cripple. He did good things. They didn't know what they were praising at that time. The Pharisees had no idea who he was. None whatsoever. The Pharisees said, hold it, wait. Stop them. Stop them. Stop them. They're worshiping you. He said, if I tell them to stop, the rocks will cry out, Jesus! What do you think the rocks would have said? Holy, holy, no, they would have said, glorious Jesus. Mighty Jesus. Glory to God. We praise you, Jesus. That's what the rocks would have said. And Jesus said this, if you withhold my name, if you don't use my name, nature itself will begin to cry out that I am Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the giver of salvation, the giver of the Holy Spirit, the strength and light of life, and the glorious grace that allows God to accept me. This is the name you would have heard the rock say, Jesus. The Pharisees didn't catch on. You see, I'm telling all this to tell you this, that the Word, that's Jesus. Acts, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came in that has come into being. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That doesn't change who he is. He's everything. The Word, Jesus, is your authority. That separates you from religion. Do you believe what I'm saying today? Do you see the power of the authority of the name of Jesus today? If you do, say amen. Amen. God's glory is in that name. The Bible says that you can't approach God without a sacrifice. God approached the humanity. He approached the sin from Adam to this current day and for the future. He approached all sin with a sacrifice. If God the Father, listen to what I'm saying. If God the Father approached us with the sacrifice of his Son, then we must approach God with a sacrifice. Well, I'll run out and get a lamb. No. The greatest sacrifice you'll ever have to bring to God the Father is when you walk in and lift your hands and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you're bringing back to Him the ultimate sacrifice, and God will accept it. That's why you use the name of Jesus, the supreme sacrifice of God. This wasn't our sacrifice, this was God's sacrifice to us. I've got some other notes, but I'm done preaching. I want you to understand that every need you have today, every need you have today, I don't have to name categories, Jesus has already made provision for by His name. His name is that powerful. He's waiting for you to come into the presence of God using that name. I told you this the other day with a bunch of pastors. God gave us a truth and a power we'd never known. As simple as it may sound to you, the Holy Spirit said, quit asking the Holy Spirit to come into your church. Quit asking the Holy Spirit to come into my life. He said, start asking God, the Holy Spirit, to accept us into His presence. To come into His tabernacle, to come into His dwelling from that day forward to this morning. I've been praying, God, bring us into Your presence. We don't have a house good enough for You to come into ours, but You have a house, a dwelling place, and it's found through the name of Jesus. We can come into Your presence and receive the glory of God. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Stand to your feet with me.